is Joe, and you are listening to the Old Gatekeeper podcast. Up next is an old and new friend, Jason Williamson of Sleaford Mods. Thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on, mate. It's a big deal. Thank you.
How's the what day is it? Thursday. How's the Thursday going?
Yes, all right. I've had like a cold for about a week, 2 weeks. And I don't know if it's like some weird COVID stuff or something. But yeah, I've got like that dry cough. I don't know if you had COVID. You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I never got like one of them tests,
Oh, okay.
but like symptomatically for sure. Yeah, when I was fucking when I was a super spreader, post lockdown, do you know what I mean? Touring the world,
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
spreading the love.
So I've had that and I've just been around the asshole, but it's one of them, isn't it? I'm going to try and get out tomorrow.
You were doing so you were going to so you the screenings of Game. Yeah, so that's probably where you got it, some fucking grot bag in the cinema.
Well, to be honest, I went away last week and we was in Norfolk and it was just pissing it down and I had next to nothing on. You know how it is, and you think you got some warm clothes on, but you haven't. And
Serves you right for going to Norfolk, mate.
yeah, big time. Yeah, I should have stayed at home. You know what I mean?
I do actually. Do you know what? I went there for the first time maybe like 5 years ago.
Oh,
It's
okay.
fucking stunning.
Gosh, yeah, it's proper.
Like red brick, isn't it? It's all like kind of weird.
Where did you go? Can you remember?
No, it was like it was just basically all in the center. I was DJing there,
Oh, okay.
and an old mate of mine lives there.
Yeah.
He used to live in Briz, and he moved back. He grew up there. I think he had webbed feet. He went back there, normal for Barnstaple, not Bridgewater. He went back there, so I met up with him, but it was all like in and out. You know, when you DJ,
Yeah.
kind of like it was when I was doing it on my own. So I remember the drive being mental.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, all those.
Yeah, wait, not Norwich.
Well, Norwich is similar, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's
No, is Norfolk in, is that a
I think it's an area, isn't it? Norfolk. And then you got Norwich is like the city or whatever.
Yeah, sounds like yeah.
Yeah. If you can call it a city, you know.
Yeah, medieval city.
How's your Thursday anyway?
Eh?
How's your Thursday?
Yeah, man, good. Like I had therapy earlier on this computer, and my fucking internet was shit, and I didn't have my mate Andy on my shoulder fixing everything.
Oh, okay.
So I was having a bit of a panic before this. But apart from that, it's been good. I've been like my mate's he's building a bathroom upstairs. He's tore out our bathroom, he's putting a new bathroom in.
Okay.
So just
From
I'm
your chat.
just yeah,
Okay.
yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like trying to tidy up around it, pretending it's not chaos in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like I like a tidy desk.
Yeah. So you've had therapy. You got geezer upstairs doing your bathroom. That's a lot, man. And then you're doing a podcast.
I'm on a Zoom with my arch nemesis.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Massive bastard. Mr.
Fuck off, come on.
Cunt Williamson. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for inviting me on.
I really appreciate it, man. So like, do you like the Q&A stuff? Do you like the talking?
Yeah, I don't mind it actually.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, I think like it helps, doesn't it? I think it's a bit like a signed album, in it. It kind of almost makes people think, yeah, I'll go down to that. So I guess it's the film version of that, in it, in some respects. But yeah, I like it. Yeah, I don't mind it. I think if it helps to push it along, because it's kind of like it been independently conceived and released, etc., then you've probably got to put as much energy behind it as you can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like how do you like how many times have you watched it now?
Be honest, four. You don't. It's like I don't. I don't know about you with albums, but once I've done it or in the process of, I'm on it, properly on it, like to the point where it's just sending you a bit insane. But with the film, obviously, because it wasn't completely all mine, it's like, yeah, I was all right stepping back from it and just watching it when they were like, oh, okay, we've done this to it now, you can watch it again. So yeah, and also it's a bit of a tough one, isn't it, watching yourself doing acting. It's okay. I mean, I don't like videos and stuff. It's like, ooh, fucking hell. But film is kind of even slower, isn't it? You can't, it's almost like slow motion, this version of you on the screen. So looking at yourself is a bit odd, I think, and I know that's probably hard for some people to believe,
Well, it's bizarre, isn't it? Like the thing about music videos, which I think is something to address, especially because you've done both, is like a music video isn't acting and it's not performing. Because obviously, like people that have seen you live, specifically Sleaford Mods live, this is like, it's like there's an honestness to it, and like, it's very like. Like it, you seem like you're a bit on edge and like you're not uncomfortable, but like, you're going through it. It's not, and that's not an act. That's not the same as the performance, but it's not acting. Like music videos, you're kind of like, well, I'm not playing me, but I don't fucking want to
It's really weird, isn't it? It's like,
be here.
I mean, when I first started doing it, I'm like, yeah, I'm having this. But after about 5 or 6, you're like, oh, fucking hell, how am I doing this? And obviously, thankfully, you get a bit more successful and you can kind of afford to bring people in that have got better ideas than you. So it makes it more attractive prospect, doesn't it? But yes, and thank you for that. Yeah, you it's just trying to play it as real as you can. And, tough one, isn't it?
What about yeah, it is. What about like, because like what on you did detect, is it Detectorists? Am I getting that right?
Don't know. Is it landscapers?
Landscapers, that's it, sorry. When you did Landscapers, was that your first bit of acting?
No, I did. What else did I do? I did something called Festival, which was with, but I forgot his name now. I'm really sorry, mate, if you watch this. But it was the director who did In Between Us. Which is fucking really good. It's really funny, isn't it? So yeah, he got me in on this festival thing. It's like a bit of a sort of story about a guy that's going to a festival, just gets in all kinds of trouble. And I play a copper, so that was the first thing I did.
The first thing you played was a copper. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to like, oh, okay. We all know what a copper is, don't we? And I don't know, I mean, I did it at A level, did it at GCSE theatre studies. I tried to get into countless drama schools, but couldn't, just didn't get admitted. So it's not like it's completely alien. It was something that I always wanted to do, But it just, in the end, it was just like, fuck this, I'm just gonna, I just got into music instead,
That's interesting.
Yeah, if I'd had the dough, I think it would have been a different story. I think primarily it was there. They were being polite and sort of saying, you're not getting in. Well, they weren't going to tell you the truth, but I think most people that got in paid, you know what I mean? There were very few people that got a scholarship.
Yeah, there's a lot of double-barreled names in acting.
Well, I think, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not a,
No.
I think it's one of them, isn't it? But it's, but yes, there is a discourse around that that's fully justified. I think you can, it's kind of weighted in favor of those with a bit of loot, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess like, because until the government take the art seriously, there's never going to be any.
Well, they're not going to, are they? I think, and it's cliche, but it's right. It's like, the arts, they encourage people to think, don't they? Good creativity encourages people to think, and the mass market, there's very few things there that you can pick out and think, okay, that's all right. It's far between. A lot of it's just dross. Don't make you think. It's like Manic Street Preachers lyric, isn't it? I forgot what it was now. On Motan Jung,
No,
1 point
no.
seconds of not thinking and slagging off Motown, which I disagree with, but I get his sentiment,
I think it'd be interesting to see what happens in Ireland with the, because they're subsidizing artists
Yes,
now,
I
aren't they?
saw that, which is brilliant. What is it? 350 quid a week or something?
Something substantial, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. But I don't know. It's like, in some respects, do you want it to be made easy? Getting into it. I got into it because I felt like I had to do it. It's like, then I didn't think about sort of like, and I got to choose my words carefully here. I didn't think about how comfortable the journey would be. And as you grow older, it's like, well, life isn't going to open the fucking door for you, but at the same time, it's extremely weighted now. There's just been a shutdown in everything, and to start a band now, I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Well, I mean, fucking, even if you can, like, you can get shit guitar for like 20 quid.
Oh,
Do you know what I mean?
yeah.
But like touring, how are you gonna t like if you're not like already established or you haven't got another job, you're not touring Europe. No way.
The thing is, I mean, it could have been easy for you. It could have been easy for any band over the last 15 years to go out there and do it. I think a lot of these discussions about it kind of overlook the fact that it helps if you've got an angle. Where's your tunes? You know what I mean? It's like you can't just go out and expect to get somewhere if you've got a leather fucking jacket on. It's like, where's the fucking tunes? Where's the angle? Where's the message? I don't know, it's fucking tough, isn't it? Whatever you say, you're gonna get fucking shouted at.
I wonder, like, that is a thing. Like, the French have been subsidizing musicians and artists for a long time, and we all know what that sounds like. And then, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not slagging off all French music, but I think there's a lack of hunger and purpose within a lot of it. It's like if you don't have a fight for it, in some way. Like you're saying, in some ways, but like you get up in the morning and you got no choice anymore because you want to fucking do some this thing that we're talking about. And if it's like, I don't know, like one of the people I struggle with most out of my mates are the ones who are fucking lazy. And I think that would be a point of contention if everyone's comfortable in being a creative, then I don't think it's going to make good art.
No, I don't either. And I think, as a little sidebar here, like the entry of social media has made it easy for people to think that they've got an angle with it when they necessarily haven't. And I'm going to push that back out again. But yes, you worked hard right from the off. You was gigging like fog all over the place, and the momentum grew and grew and grew. And I think if you've got that inside you, then eventually everything else that needs to be around you in order to push it forward will eventually meet you. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds a little bit, away with the fairies or whatever, but I think that's what I always believed, because I always thought everything was completely on top of me all the time. There was absolutely no way I was getting anywhere ever. And it became quite clear that I needed a formula that was a different from everything else, because I was trying to be like everyone else. It wasn't working. And when that came along, it was still fucked up, but I just kept with it. And I do believe that if you've got that inside you, then that will somehow look after you as well. And that's going to get rubbished by a lot of people, but I do believe that. I've always said that, and I always will believe it, I think.
Yeah, I think like what I guess the people that might push back on that I guess the argument's like, well, it's easy for you to say because you've made it to a certain degree or to the degree that you're saying. And then it's like, what when I get that pushback, when I say the same thing, it's like, well, yeah. But like, I know loads of people that started something who give excuses as to why they're not giving it everything. And you see how that fucking deteriorates quickly, often, or sometimes slowly. But like, I think there's a sense in the people, and I'm not just thinking about music and that, because it's fucking rare. Like making it in music is rare in terms of being able to get paid as a job to make songs. It's fucking rare. But like the ones who have, it's just like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna wake up and think, well, I'm not gonna keep my head down and work. I'm just gonna give up. Or you keep your head down and I don't
Yeah.
know, like.
Or you get, I
There's
mean,
no proof, is there, either way?
no, I mean, you can think both things. And I used to constantly think both things. Think those, that might help. I don't know, you know, it's a tough one. I think it's always been against you. There's always been a Spotify around. There's always been this about. There's always been that. There's always been a fucking wall to climb over. And I don't think that'll ever change, will it? It's like you say, if you're going to get it handed to you on a plate, it's not going to be very passionate, is it? It's not going to be very interesting, I don't think. I think that's just basic mathematics.
As a father, do you like, what would you like when if your kids are, oh, well, you know, how would you create that sense of determination?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it feels almost unrealistic to
It
say
does,
to your kid, like, well, you just fucking, you know.
yeah. I think, you know, by not saying anything, don't say a fucking word. Don't try and push something because it usually never happens ever. Well, I think, I don't know, you know, he's been like coming home with like, look at my little friend. I said, do you know where that line's from? He's like, what? I'm like, this film called Scarface. He said, can I watch it? I went, no. But then we're into the realms of, look, this is an ex but it is an example of good creativity. And I tried to broadly describe it to him without, you know, sending him to bed with the horrors. But yeah, I don't know. No, I'm not sure. It's a weird one, isn't it? I look at people that look at other people's kids who have been successful, who kind of I met when we got here, you know what I mean? And they seem to be doing things that are vaguely connected to it, you know. So I think the important thing is that the artwork shows that you can perhaps kind of do something interesting, that it's not off the cards, that you know there's a life out there, you know what I mean?
Because my old man's been a sculptor all my life,
Okay.
and for the first, well, in Thatcherite Britain, he was a teacher as well because there was no money in, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then he got to a point where he could just make, you know, sculptures again, and that's just all I knew is the idea that, and he's always been poor, but he's always been the happiest. A most purposed person I know. Do you know what I mean? And like that sense of like a real, it's just purpose. I think that's the thing. It's like working hard, you know, like when I worked in a call center or fucking an office or, you know, the supermarket or the fucking, or the bars or the kitchen or whatever I worked in, I always worked hard.
Yeah.
Because time goes so much fucking slower when you're trying to find something else to do other than work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like working hard is like by the by for me, and I get people that don't. But when you find something that makes you, like you say, get up in the morning and you're making these songs or you're making this whatever, writing a book, whatever it is. Suddenly, it's like that purpose thing. It's almost like working hard is the gift because you get to do something for you and who you are in the universe, and creating a bridge between you and that stuff, or telling a story, or helping people connect, or whatever. But like, that's kind of almost the gift, is finding something you want to work hard on, even if you can never make fucking money from it, you know?
Did it fire you up, the fact that your dad was expressing himself that way with sculpture? Did that give you an inkling then that sort of separate you from sort of just this idea of non-thought of just going into fucking whatever and doing that forever? Do you know what I mean?
I think the biggest thing there's an influence on me that it did was like, I realized like in my old, like late teenage years, like 18, 19, when I was a lot more politically aware, all my stepdad and my mum as well, they're all on the left. But like, I was getting really angry because my mum had a stroke when I was 16, and like, so I had all this fucking confusion and fear that just turned into like violent rage and all that. It's like I noticed my dad was always on a level, no matter what was going on. He was always like a rock, and I started to realize that, like, he's never shouted at me once in my life, but I would fucking, he tells me to do something, I do it, and I'm like, hold on. And my stepdad was the opposite. He was always shouting, not creative man at all, very angry. And like, I started just leaning towards my old man, like, why is he never fucking, you know, he's not a timid man, you know, but he's not got this imbalance of this like innate fucking rage and just taking out on some 16-year-old lad. He's just going out getting fucking pissed and arrested and fighting. It was like, I realized that it was just my dad's got balance because he's making, and he's like, and he's got a purpose. He gets up in the morning and he's not like, who am I? Or oh, I'm fucking, you know, like, it's not, he was the poor one, and my stepdad and my mum were the ones who were earning more money. It like, you know, took early retirement and then started working in supermarkets and that. But they, you know, it wasn't like they had to worry about money, but they were the ones who were existentially fucked.
Did you live with your mum and stepdad then? Same deal with me. So your dad moved away, but you always kept in contact, sort of
Oh
thing.
yeah. He was always a present dad, like,
That's good. That's good.
What about you? What was it? Was there a creative influence on you growing up?
No, not at all, really. No. My parents were sort of, my dad was a paramedic, mum was just at home, and she had odd jobs in supermarkets. When they split up, my stepdad was a builder. He was in a band actually, but I don't know if that fired me up, maybe did a little bit, I don't know. But I think it was more just bands, just influence, just things around you as well, you know what I mean? Just growing and listening to various bands, getting into that. Getting fired up by punk rock, mod, Motown, and really, really vibing off that, really.
It's like, it's good. So I've got like a series of questions that I ask, but if the, I'll we'll go we'll, I will come back to it, kind of to the list. But like, the first one I could go into as what you're saying, how much of your upbringing do you think remains in your creative language now? Like, what echoes from it, do you think?
Lots of it, most of it, I think. Like just the general anger and negativity and all of the negative aspects of the human condition, the emotions, whether it's jealousy, rage, envy, paranoia, non-thought to a certain degree, all that kind of stuff. Has stuck with me. I don't, the only things that are separate to that are the musical influences of whatever I'm trying to, associate with in a song, you know what I mean? Or, working towards, you know what I mean? But yeah, all of them. And yeah, it's kind of like, the East Midlands is quite a landlocked, sour, flat dump, really, in a lot of respects. I think that carries with me, which, I try and make the best of. There's lots of positivity and negativity, I think, if you can make it interesting, if you can use it, if you can be honest with yourself as well. A lot of it is, self-criticism as well.
It's interesting because the first one of the first things you like emotions you use is anger, and like I really like anger was something I always f fought against. I fight against it now in therapy because I'm I don't know, like I have this worry, because anger pushes away. One of the things I've found with your art and music is that anger doesn't push away, it actually brings in. How does the anger, when you put out your anger in your music? So I think people think I put anger out, and it's actually not anger. It to me, it's not. But like, it seems like anger. But with you, how does it work? Like afterwards, how does that feel? How does the anger being put out there, does it feel cathartic, or is it something else?
I mean,
Why do you think it brings people in? But do you have joy in your anger from that putting out there?
no, not really. I don't, I still have problems appreciating it and looking at it positively. I'm content with it and satisfied with it, and I know I've done a good job with it, whether it's recording an album or doing a gig. But generally, I still have issues looking at it in that sense, which is why I think turning it to you is that your vibe with it, this like positive thing. Which, has been done. People have tried to do that before, but I think this kind of like this joy business and everything else, I thought was quite original. It clearly shows that you connected with what you were feeling, but were trying to bring something positive out of it.
Yeah, so I think that's what, like weirdly, what I get remember from it is pushback, because it felt like people are like, "Fuck, like you sanctimonious little cunt." It's like, "Oh yeah, let's all be happy." It's like, "Well, no, that's the point." Like I'm terrified and I'm angry, so I'm trying like that positive mental attitude from the hardcore scene, you know.
Well, I mean, the hardcore scene, like any fucking scene, isn't it? It's just full of fucking armchair enthusiasts. I don't care what they've fucking done and where they've been. It's like, show me your fucking tunes. But I think, but that was only the noise from your detractors. Hello. The general public took to it. And I remember the release of that second album. It was insane. Like it just swept those messages that you were carrying through, it just swept, and it was all over social media, white hot. So, it clearly struck a chord with people, like we did 4 years earlier, I guess.
And then it's downhill from there, isn't
It's
it?
And it's like, you got to get into the prop cupboard, haven't you? You know what I mean? But no, I think, the hard work doesn't stop with you lot, with us. We've carried on. I think there's still loads of life in it, of course. You know what I mean? I even hate saying that. It's like it's a dead cert. You know what I mean? It's the only thing I can do, really. And it's like, well, I can do, what else can I please myself with? Because being in Sleaford Mods with Andrew is just like being solo anyway. And he's the same. It's like he does his shit and I do mine. It's like,
That's interesting. Two solo acts together.
well, he's like, what do you want me to do? Early on. And I'm like, well, initially it was like, can you do this? Do you mind doing this? And he's like, yeah. And then he just went with it. And now I just get stuff from him. I think with this last album, it's like, 'cause he engineers a lot, and I'm like, why don't we just produce together? And so that's come up with more interesting results, I think. And so, we're going to carry on that way, sort of thing.
Nice. What before Andrew, what were you just doing the beats yourself?
No, I had a geezer, a mate of mine called Simon.
Right.
And he was good at engineering, so I had this idea of just looping shit. Because I didn't know how to make a sample, like hip hop thing, you know what I mean? I was just completely fucking clueless with it. But I had all these lyrics, and I thought, well, and I was at work and I kept listening to Wu-Tang and stuff like Ronnie Size, and I'm like, oh, okay, I could nick that bit. And then I started listening to other records like, and you know, I could nick that bit and loop it and just do a whole song over it. And so I used to take these CDs to the studio and I'd be like, do this. And he'd just be looking at you gone out. But you know, after an hour and a half, he'd be
Yeah.
okay, I see where you're coming from. And it was miraculous. It was like my eureka moment, you know, after years. And you know the angle. You've been doing it for years and years before Idols. So it, and it's like when that comes, it's quite something. It really gives you an, it really gives you the impression that there is something to life, to existence. It hard work does pay off, you know.
Do you like as a mod? Do you ever like want to sample like Motown stuff?
No, I think I'm a rocker now, mate, to be honest. I was punk rock last year and the year before that, and I think I'm a rocker
Where's your leather jacket, Jason?
now. No, you've got one actually, haven't you? I've seen a couple of pictures of you and one. I'm like, oh,
Stop, man.
that's the angle. Yeah.
It's all about the leather, mate. You got,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. So I don't know, you know, I've been wearing like sleeveless tops with tattoos. I think that's about as close as I'll get to it for the minute. I don't want to offend anybody, you know what I mean?
Your fedora's in the post, mate. All right, well, I'm gonna start some of these questions, if that's all right. How
All right.
are we doing for time? Are you all right?
Yes, sand. Yeah.
Yeah, just give me a shout if it's fucking dragging on, all right?
Yep, cool.
All right, first one. How would you describe your creative language?
Just I don't know really. Babe language. Just everyday talk, I think. You know, the sound of bus stops, the sound of last orders or whatever. That's what I used to say. And I still think it's that really. Just not real talk, but like, you know, just everyday speak and trying to get in. I fell in love with this. I fell in love with language and how people bounce words off each other or off themselves. You know, people that weren't creative whatsoever, just yabbing at you in the pub and they're going 10 to the dozen at you, and what they would say in their some of their slang and everything else. And so it's all of that really. And I still do. I still nick stuff off people if it's worthy. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And like, yeah, that's. Do you. Because with that, I guess it's like, it's an endless source, isn't it?
It's an endless source, and yeah, it's like it's just like people are like, what are you going to write about now? You know, it's like, what the fuck are you on about? It's almost to write about. But yeah, it's
Yeah.
an endless source completely. Even text messages from people, or you know, voice notes. I don't like sending voice notes, but most people I know now just send me voice notes, and you're like, oh, fucking hell. But even that, it's like, and it's like, oh, right, okay. And you find yourself pinching bits and bobs, you know, tying it all together.
That's your own sampler, that, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'm fucking. Do you know what I can't stand? This new thing. I don't know what happened, but I used to get a text. It's a block of fucking whatever. If that big or that big, whatever. It's one
Yeah.
block.
Yeah.
Now, people's full stops is a send button. So you get 14 text messages. It's like ding, ding.
What's all that about? What do you mean?
It's called waterfall texting. There's a name for it.
Oh,
It's where I'll see if I can find one of my mates who do it. That fucking winds me the fuck
that's
up, man.
terrible. Is that an option on the phone then or somewhere?
Nah, it literally. So you just go, all right, mate, how's it going? Send. What are you up to at the moment? Send. And you're like, why are you sending fucking nine messages, you mad cunt?
A young thing or what? Fuck knows. No, fuck that shit.
Oh, it's dry. Anyway, yeah, I love a voice message. Because it
Oh,
means
do
I
you?
can, I, well, it means I can send one back. I'm so slow at typing. I have to get up at 5 in the morning to reply to my messages and then start my day at 9. Fucking depressing.
Yes, yeah, it is really. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, what I don't know, yeah, I prefer text. I can't. Voice notes are all right if someone's insisting on doing it all the time. Like, all right, whatever. But a lot of people, I don't know, yeah.
I'm a phone call person. That's
Oh
me.
no, not at all, are you? Do you
Yeah.
like parking? Hell no, I
I
can't.
love a chin wag, Jason. I love
I'm like, what? What do you
it.
want? What? I'm on holiday.
Oh, brilliant. All right, so it brings us on nicely, segues into how old do you feel when you write? Because it's a just to reiterate, it's a thing people always go, what do you mean? In therapy, right? If I'm talking about something and I'm talking about something that's winding me up, like whatever, or makes me angry or sad or whatever, my therapist, not my current one, but my older one used to be like, how old do you feel in that situation? I'd be like, oh, 14. And then you can work backwards into why it makes you feel 14 again. It turns out some prick at 14, block, whatever. But I find that a nice way of asking people about how they feel when they perform, because it's not about our age, but it's about what it does to us when we write and when we perform. And I was just wondering, how old do you feel when you write?
Like 24, you know what I mean? Like early 20s all the time. Or then I might feel late 20s. Never anything over 30, I don't feel. And when I perform, yeah, I think I'm 20, 27, 28. You know, I think I look like Brad Pitt.
Fight Club, Brad Pitt.
No, do you know what I'm saying though? Because you know you're on stage like, oh fuck, and you're just carried with it, aren't you? And I think what I like about performing is it's something like really, oh, what's how can I say this? I don't know. It's very, it's, without sounding like a fucking perv, but it's quite sexual, isn't it? It's quite, there's an energy there that you're not allowed to have a lot of the time in normal day-to-day living, even if you are. You know, hanging around with creatives all the time. You know, this just something free about it. It's, I don't think, I don't, you know, I don't think that I'll ever go away, will it? For me, anyway.
Well, yes, yeah, it's an interesting physicality, and it like you're on stage, and it's like you're doing something with your body, but people are watching. It's not necessarily sexual in like a like you say a perverted way,
No.
but it's like there's a physic there's like a physicality to it, and we're not dancers, but we are dancers. It's a performance, but we're not actors, and it's this thing. It's like,
We are fucking dancers, Joe, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is, you feel, you know, there's a, I think it's, you know, without sounding like a wanker, you know, at home, if anyone's listening, thinking pure cunt, it's not, but it's like you feel as one with everything, you know, it's like, it's something quite, there's something quite Mother Nature about it. And also there's this opportunity to be funny and just to be a twat and to try and exercise all of these things that you can't put into day-to-day bodily communication on stage, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, I think that's like also a description of like the best audiences. I've talked about it before, like places like Mexico and that, but where everything just like the people in the room are also doing that. They also let go that thing, because the worst, not like I'm not gonna lie. When I go to a gig now, mate, probably since I was 25, I stand at the back and I nod my head and I watch because I love it, right? I'm not like, rarely will I get in the pit and fucking throw my arms about,
No.
especially now. But like, it's not that. It's just there's sometimes a dislocation in the room where people just aren't letting go. And I'm not asking for anyone to mosh, but it's that thing of just not giving a fuck about anyone else in the room. Like, you just melt, you know?
Yeah, loads of moshing at your gigs though, tons. I'm like, look at those punks, got loads of fucking, look at that fucking circle we got. Fuck, you know, it's like some kind of a hurricane or something.
Yeah, it can be. I wouldn't be in that. I'd be at the back stroking my chin.
You can't do it now. And I mean, you know, you can imagine trying to do that. Oh, there's that cunt from Idols. I'm gonna fucking have him.
Yes, fucking straight. That sounded like your subconscious, Jason, to
Oh
be
no, fuck you! I
honest.
wouldn't. No, I don't. You go to quite a lot of gigs, don't you? Your Instagram posts are full of like just watching some band.
Well, nah, like honestly, fucking, this is a recent thing. So, we recently came to the end of like a record and touring and stuff, and I was like, I'll just fester and like, what the fuck am I gonna do for the next 4 months? Not do anything, but like I'll fill it with work instead of like filling it with like. So what I've done is I'm going to cinema with my girlfriend once a week, and I'm trying to go to as many gigs as possible as a and just try and feel the youthfulness of like being in the audience again. You know that thing of being excited and like getting there and fucking standing at the back and getting excited about, because I lost, you know what it's like. You don't, like, the last thing I want to do is see a live act after a fucking 6 week tour, you know?
Time, and I was about to say, you know, this is a thing, you know, you're quite good like that, aren't you? You're always, you know, and I find that with other people, you know, their personalities and the way they operate and try and garner inspiration is quite a positive thing. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I haven't been to a gig for quite a while, I don't think, but yeah, I do occasionally like going defo if it's something that's interesting. Defo.
Have you got any new music you like at the moment? Have you heard anything?
Nah, see, again, you love loads of new shit. And I'm like, where are you fucking finding that? I'm like, I just listen to old shit. Like, I'm listening to just Caius at the minute and
Oh,
Slow,
sick.
yeah, Slow Burn, which is Garcia's other band after they split up, and early Queens of Stone Age first album, especially just that one, actually.
Is that Queens of the Stone Age, isn't it?
Yeah, just David.
Yeah.
Yeah, self-titled thing, but that's fucking brilliant. I mean, it's fucking. I'm like, what the fuck's that? So I'm trying to figure out how to angle that. And I was talking to Jeff Barrow the other day. He says, "Oh, you'll sound like Jesus Jones." I'm like, yeah, no. I said, no. Honestly, it's a gamble, mate. But yeah, you know, that's what it's all about. That excitement in it, you know. And
Yeah.
that's what pushes new ideas on, is being excited about music, not just treading the old same old shit and trying to listen to the same old albums. It's like, just find something new, you know.
If the thing is, like, the thing that I've realized now with like listening to, I listen to a lot of like whip I can't fucking I don't it's just gonna I'm gonna sound like I can't, but I was on Instagram and I got put onto this album. Her name is Roz Saray Sophia. I'm pretty sure she's from like Thailand or somewhere like that, Southeast Asia.
Looks it.
Where were the Killing Fields?
That was it wasn't, it wasn't Vietnam, was it? It was somewhere else. Was
No.
it India? Cambodia.
Cambodia, that's it. Thank you. It's fucking amazing. It's amazing. But like, I just got put onto it. But like, what I'm trying to do is exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm just trying to be proactive, man. And like, because I'll listen to the same playlist. Well, the same fucking whatever forever if I could, because I love what I love. Rated R, I went back to that album the other day. I thought, fuck, I remembered all my synapses connecting when I heard that for the first time, and my
That's
mate.
brilliant, isn't it? It's just, I mean, it's quite I think that was kind of almost like the commercial realization of the first album. In fact, everything
Yeah.
that he was probably doing as an individual throughout, you know, from, you know, Kais or whatever. But no, I found that really interesting. Nick Oliveri as well, obviously, has got a big part to play in that. But yeah, Josh Homme. I met him the other week at a festival, and actually, that's what got me back into rediscovering all the old stuff that he used to listen to.
What's
Really,
he like?
yeah, his sound is all right, you know,
Good.
massive. He's quite, it's about 8 foot, but yeah, Well, yeah, he was all right. So, so I thought, oh, he was responsible for putting his guitar through a bass amp and creating this sound. I mean, I could be completely wrong about that, but I think, Kaius were one of the more formidable stoner rock bands, you know what I mean? And for good reason too. So, I found that interesting, so just decided to investigate and listen to the stuff more intently, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sick. Yeah, so I started listening to jazz,
Yes, I saw that.
and I was like,
Yeah. Jazz you're listening to.
what jazz?
Yeah.
Eric Dolphy.
Oh, four.
There's an album called, I think it's called Mutations.
Oh, okay.
That's the last one I was listening to the other day.
Yeah.
Is it Mutations? Oh, fuck. I'm so bad at this stuff, Jason.
I'm terrible. I'm fucking really bad. I can't even name you the albums I'm listening to currently. I think it's Spotify, because it's like I just use that, and like
Yeah.
just don't pick up. It's not like a physical thing, is it?
No.
So,
And like,
go on.
it takes you away from processing things, I think, properly.
Oh, big time. I think even with Bandcamp, like there's still an element of you have to digest the information, but with Spotify, you don't. It's fucked up. So, yeah, but.
But what I was not worried about, what I thought about when I started listening to jazz, because it was so like different to what I'm used to. Even like the hip hop stuff, like it's jazz samples, but there was a sense of like repetition to it. Whereas this was like,
It's all over the place, isn't it?
yeah, it's fucking mad. I love it, but I'm just trying to get my head around it. But what I thought was that it might make like just, but all it's doing is making me hungry again for new shit. It's
Yeah.
like making my ears, like it's brightening my ears up. It's making me feel like, oh, there's so many in, like, it's, I don't know. It's like a palate, not a palate cleanser. That sounds cunty. But like, it's pushing me in new directions, and I think it's helping. And then when I do go back to like Rated R or whatever,
FO,
it
yeah.
feels like home. But there's a couple of new bands that like are in our world that my girlfriend put me onto.
Go on.
That I listened to yesterday, Upchuck. Do you know them?
No.
Fucking amazing.
What they lie.
They're like, I like it, it sounds like shit, but it's not. It's like kind of good punk music with sick melody, like smart melody. The singer, they just, got a beautiful voice and smash out just really interesting songs.
I'll have a look.
Yeah, but like it's shit that that's the one band on between you and I that I'm putting you onto, because it's like it's an obvious one between me and this, like, but that's what I was listening to yesterday, and it fucking, I was like, this band are fucking sick. Upchuck.
There's not, I mean, you did well coming up with one, even really. I mean, it's fucking hard work because there's so much selection.
Yeah. Well, I just went for the first thing that, but yeah. Oh, and another thing I've been getting into, because you were talking about it earlier, and I was thinking about tape loops, because like I'm trying to buy Jeff's Tascam at the moment, actually.
How are you?
Yeah, but
Is he not having it? Does he keep putting the price up?
well, yeah, he's like all good drug dealers. He put it up online. I fucking bit immediately, and he's like, "Oh, I have to wait a bit on that one." And he's, I think the price is going to go up, but I really want it. But anyway, that's Jeff, isn't it? But I like the idea that, there's an EP I listened to the other day. You know the singer of Ice Age, Elias Ronenfelt.
No.
He's got loads of different projects. He's fucking super talented. I think he's quite into the baggy scene,
Oh, okay.
but like his newer stuff is a bit Oasis-y.
Oh, okay.
But like Ice Age have gone through all of their catalogs, super interesting, super violent early, like real fucking aggro punk music with like interesting melodies in the guitar.
Yeah.
And then they've expanded and become like this really fucking, like, there's elements of like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and then elements of Birthday Party, and then elements of like Oasis and interesting shit. But his solo stuff's always real fucking like left of what he's doing. But I just discovered there are an EP he did with Dean Blunt. You know Dean Blunt? They did an EP together at the start of the year, and
He's
that feels what's that?
totally out there. I'm like, I can get my head around it, but only fragments of it.
Well, it's that loop thing. It's beautiful, man.
It's like trying to carry home a really messy piece of, sort of mangled wire, and you're trying to get your hands around the smooth bits, and you keep getting pricked by the, and like by the time you're home, you're kind of half covered in blood, and it's like, but you want to take it home because it looks good. What's that, I mean, is this relatively new then, this collaboration, or?
Think it's February. I think it came out. I think I saw it was February this year, but it's really good. It's like I think it's called, fuck knows. Right, hold on, Lucre, Lucre, really great.
I'm gonna have a
And
look.
then I got, and then because of that EP, I went and re-listened to like Heavy Metal 2 and the other Dean Blunt records. And you're right, it's a bit like King Krule. When it pays off, it's fucking like it kind of helps you understand the rest of it. I love it. I love that scene.
King Krule's got loads of sounds that you really like, hasn't it? And then it kind of pushes you out again, and you want to get back in, and I know what you're saying.
It's nice. All right. All right. I'm gonna do the one I've asked a lot of people. I've got two more questions, three more. One's like not really. Well, I'll do one that I'm really interested in, because the way you were talking about your own work, it's like you seemingly as a person and your work are the antithesis of imposter syndrome, either because you're fighting it or because. You talk of self-belief, you say things that are really affirming, especially as someone who wants to make shit and as a father that I want my kid to hear. You say things like, well, I did that stuff. I know it was good. I know it was great. I did really well on that record. That record sounds great. I did really, you talk very assertively about the affirmations that you deserve. And that's, people don't do that, for one, just as a side note. It's not a normal thing. Secondly, that kind of contradicts this idea that you have, that you put out there, that you're like, nah, I don't know, I just don't, you don't think it's good enough as well. The way you use, I just wonder, I wonder, because you're not, do you, the question is, sorry, what's your most accomplished piece of work? But as a side note, what's the, you, is there anything around imposter syndrome that you fight against or just have?
Don't know if it's imposter syndrome or just like sadness. I've come out of therapy now for a little bit, although I'm having another session in a couple of weeks, but I've got an handle on quite a lot of it, and it's not feeling like I'm not good enough. It's just trying to figure out why I never sit down and place valuation on it. If that makes sense. I'm not sure. There's still lots of grey areas, I think. I don't know. I don't know. It's like I know I can do it. It's much imposter syndrome. I think if you're right, sat with a load of actors from RADA and you're having a drink, it's hard not to feel like it's imposter syndrome. Or if, do you know what I mean? If you talk to people that are really famous and you're trying to hold it down, then that's imposter syndrome, I think. But with regards to creativity, I don't know if I suffer from imposter syndrome, because it's my voice, and therefore I just don't know how to be happy about it and feel massively rewarded all of the time, which I think people should be. I think you should be. Why not? There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, don't know. Tough one.
What about your worth as an artist with that in mind? Do you like.
I don't think I've got a low opinion of myself, definitely. I don't think I'm very glamorous, and I think, I've tried to right a lot of wrongs in myself, criticizing others too much, being, and that obviously you've had first-hand experience of that. Trying to overcome some of these attributes that are unattractive and unintelligent, and I don't, I'm over them, you know what I mean? But also at the same time, being aware that some of these elements are, there's nothing wrong with feeling like that sometimes, you know?
Of course, like it's that thing of acting as a mirror, putting a mirror up for you in your music
Yeah.
allows other people to see themselves in it. It's that bit, he's talking about anger. Your anger allowed me when I, my Jam Pandy comes on, my Dev's like, listen to this. And I'm like, fuck. It's okay. It's okay, and I mean it's emotionally. It's okay to be ugly. It's
Yeah.
okay to feel ugly things. If you're not given that allowance, you go around thinking you're the only one,
Yeah.
thinking he's a cunt. Oh
Yes.
fuck it.
Yeah.
And like paranoia, that you've mentioned paranoia. That's what I was talking about in my therapy today before I was chatting to you. Was
Yeah.
like, I'm worried I'm too paranoid. I'm not trusting enough. But if I don't say that in my music, who's to say? Like one, that's not going to help me bottling that up, and then it's not allowing anyone else to unbottle it themselves. Who hears it, obviously?
Yeah, I think no. I think it's you've got to build that bridge between your inner thoughts and getting them out externally. If that makes sense. If I'm getting the right vibe from what you're saying. I don't know. But I think there's a difference between my Jam Pandy anger and just constantly criticizing somebody. Like stamping your foot into the mud constantly, the print's still there, the footprint's still there, you're still doing it. It's not logical. And so that I started to think, and not just yourself and the band, but like other acts as well. Just like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? You get this hot flush if you'd see them on your screen. That isn't just healthy, rivalry. That's deep-seated. So what was that? And I think I'm starting to understand that now. And so whenever that happens, because you still get these hot flushes, you still feel like you're not seen if you see a contemporary person getting loads of praise, able now to separate it a bit more and not go to bed fucking fuming, you know what I mean?
I get that too. I feel the same way.
You do. You do, and I've read numerous interviews with you where you were saying that, because it was quite nice for someone or a band to come along after we did and name checkers, but also be similar, and it felt a little bit homely, like I knew you all, weirdly. You know what I mean? So it's like, so yeah, so obviously you throw yourself into trying to learn a bit more, but yeah, I got that from you, defo.
I've got one more question, which is Death Row Dinner. You got $40 limit.
Someone else asked me this the other day, actually. $40.
Yeah,
Someone,
that's what the going rate is in America. It was
yeah,
like
would
when I
it be
went.
American food then, or?
No, fuck, I'm not going to put that on you. You've already
Oh,
been put to death, mate. Fucking
yeah,
hell.
sure. Top one, I think it would be fish and chips and peas. But it would have to be a chip shop on the coast. I would have fish, chips, peas. I would have large chips. I'd have, normal size fish, large peas, large gravy as well. And I wouldn't be bothered about a drink, to be honest. I've never been one for like drinks with shit like that, fizzy drinks or whatever. So yeah, I'd have that. I think that would be the one. It was either that or a Sunday dinner, but I think fish and chips just takes it really.
Is there a specific one that you want to shout out?
Yeah, I'd like to shout out French's in Norfolk and also Geezer Next Door. Oh, I can't remember the name of fucking hell. Oh shit, what's the one next door? But anyway, anyone listening to this who knows a chip shop in Wells and Norfolk will know that. But yeah. Scandalously fucking good. And we had some last week. And I went to the doctors and they were like, you got medium to high cholesterol. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. And they're like, you need to stamp out this, you need to stamp out that. I'm like, all right. So I went down there and I went for it because I've been a good boy, you know. And we all just shared a large chips and we all have fish, you know what I mean? In the back of the car. What's not to like, do you know what I mean?
Oh man, I did. Oh, it was one of my favorite memories of like after I used to go Cubs, and after Cubs we did, I used to go have fish and chips after Cubs, sit in the car, and that potent smell of fish and chips in a car. I used to, there used to be a fucking a fizzy pop drink called Corona that was only ever in fish and chip shops. Corona. I used to have, I used to have orange on it.
The orange one where it was big, there was a face on the orange and it was like, fuck, I remember that. Yeah, back in the day.
Good old days.
Fuck.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for your honesty, mate, and thanks for your time.
Thanks for inviting me on. It's been lovely to talk to you and
Me
to
too.
meet you face to face after all of these years.
Yeah, man. Well, hopefully we'll be doing it in person soon enough.
Yeah, defo. I'm sure we'll bump into someone, each other somewhere, won't we, I guess? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Until then,
Thanks a lot.
take care, Joe.
Lots of love, man.
Ta-ra, mate. Bye-bye.
Ciao.